Notes for a sketch of Heaven's Gate. Mud lanes, which run back from the station's conversion docks like a pattern of sores on a leper's back. Sulphurous brown clouds, which hang in tatters from a rotten burlap sky. A tangle of shapeless wooden structures half decayed before they were ever fully constructed. Their painless windows, now staring sightlessly into the gaping mouths of their neighbors. Indigenes breeding like humans, I suppose. Eyeless cripples, lungs burned out with air rot. Squiring a nest of a dozen offspring. The children's skin, scabrous by age 5 standard. Their eyes, watering incessantly from the sting of an atmosphere which will kill them before they're 40. Their smiles, carious. Their oily hair rife with lice and the blood bags of Dracula ticks. Proud parents, beaming. 20 million of these doomed schmucks crowded into slums, overflowing an island, smaller than my family's west lawn on old Earth. All of them fighting to breathe the only breathable air on a world where the standard is to inhale and die. Crowding ever closer to the center of the 60-mile radius of survivable atmosphere, which the atmospheric generating station had been able to provide before it began to malfunction. Heaven's Gate, my new home. Mother had not taken into account the possibility that all old Earth accounts would be frozen, and then appropriated into the growing world web economy, nor had she remembered that the reason people had waited for the Hawking Drive to see the spiral arm of the galaxy is that in long-term cryogenic sleep, as opposed to a few weeks or months of fugue, chances of terminal brain damage were 1 in 6. I was lucky. When I was uncrated on Heaven's Gate and put to work digging out acid canals beyond the perimeter, I had suffered only a cerebral accident, a stroke. Physically, I was able to work in the mud pits within a few local weeks. Mentally, there was much left to be desired. The left side of my brain had been shut down, like a damaged section of a spinship being sealed off, airtight doors leaving the doomed compartments open to vacuum. I could still think. Control of the right side of my body soon returned. Only the language centers had been damaged beyond simple repair. Marvelous organic computer wedged in my skull had dumped its language content like a flawed program. The right hemisphere was not without some language, but only the most emotionally charged units of communication could lodge in that affective hemisphere. My vocabulary was now down to 9 words. This, I learned later, was exceptional. Many victims of CVAs retain only 2 or 3. For the record, here is my entire vocabulary of manageable words. Fuck, shit, piss, cunt, goddamn, motherfucker, asshole, peepee, and poo-poo. A quick analysis will show some redundancy here. I had at my disposal 8 nouns, which stood for 6 things. 5 of the 8 nouns could double as verbs. I retained 1 indisputable noun and a single adjective, which also could be used as a verb or expletive. My new language universe was comprised of 4 monosyllables, 3 compound words, and 2 baby talk repetitions. My arena of literal expression offered 4 avenues to the topic of elimination, 2 references to human anatomy, 1 request for divine imprecation, 1 standard description of or request for coitus, an acquittal variation which was no longer an option for me since my mother was deceased. All in all, it was enough. I will not say that I remember my 3 years in the mud pits and slime slums of Heaven's Gate with fondness, but it is true that these years were at least as formative as, and probably more so, than my previous 2 decades on Old Earth. I soon found that among my intimate acquaintances, Old Sludge, the scoop shovel foreman, Unk, the slumyard bully to whom I paid my protection bribes, Kitty, the lice-ridden crib doxy whom I slept with when I could afford it, my vocabulary served me well. Shitfuck, I would grunt, gesticulating. Asshole cunt peepee fuck. Ah, grinned Old Sludge, showing his one tooth. Going to the company store to get some algae chewies, huh? Goddamn poo-poo, I would grin back at him. The life of a poet lies not merely in the finite language dance of expression, but in the nearly infinite combinations of perception and memory, combined with the sensitivity to what is perceived and remembered. My 3 local years on Heaven's Gate, almost 1,500 standard days, allowed me to see, to feel, to hear, to remember, as if I literally had been born again. Little matter that I had been born again in hell. Reworked experience is the stuff of all true poetry, and raw experience was the birthing gift of my new life. There was no problem adapting to a brave new world 1.5 centuries beyond my own. For all of our talk of expansion and pioneering spirit these past 5 centuries, we all know how stultified and static our human universe has become. We are in a comfortable, dark ages of the inventive mind. Institutions change but little, and that by gradual evolution rather than revolution. Scientific research creeps crab-like in a lateral shuffle, where once it leaped in great intuitive bounds. Devices change even less. Plateau technologies common to us would be instantly identifiable and operable to our great-grandfathers. So while I slept, the hegemony became a formal entity, the world web was spun to something close to its final shape, the all-thing took its democratic place among the list of humanity's benevolent despots, the Technocore seceded from human service, and then offered its help as an ally rather than a slave, and the ousters retreated to darkness and the role of nemesis. But all these things had been creeping toward critical mass even before I was frozen into my ice coffin between the pork bellies and sherbet. Such obvious extensions of old trends took little effort to understand. Besides, history, viewed from the inside, is always a dark, digestive mess, far different from the easily recognizable cow viewed from afar by historians. My life was Heaven's Gate, and the minute-to-minute demands of survival there. The sky was always an eternal yellow-brown sunset hanging like a collapsing ceiling mere meters above my shack. My shack was oddly comfortable. A table for eating, a cot for sleeping and fucking, a hole for pissing and shitting, and a window for silent staring. My environment mirrored my vocabulary. Prison always has been a good place for writers, killing as it does the twin demons of mobility and diversion, and Heaven's Gate was no exception. The atmospheric protectorate owned my body, but my mind, or what was left of it, was mine. On Old Earth, my poetry was composed on a Seydou Decanar Comlog thought processor while I lounged in a padded chaise lounge, or floated in my EM barge above dark lagoons, or walked pensively through scented bowers. The execrable, undisciplined, limp-wristed, flatulent products of those reveries already have been described. On Heaven's Gate, I discovered what a mental stimulant physical labor could be. Not mere physical labor, I should add, but absolutely spine-bending, lung-racking, gut-ripping, ligament-tearing, and ball-breaking physical labor. But as long as the task is both onerous and repetitive, I discovered, the mind is not only free to wander to more imaginative climes, it actually flees to higher planes. Thus, on Heaven's Gate, as I dredged bottom scum from the slop canals under the red gaze of Vega Primo, or crawled on hands and knees through stalactites and stalagmites of rebreather bacteria in the station's labyrinthine lung pipes, I became a poet. All I lacked were the words.